Under her rule, the ward inside is almost completely adjusted to surroundings. But the thing is, she can't be on the ward all the time. She's got to spend some time outside. So she works with an eye to adjusting the outside world, too. Working alongside others like her, who I call the Combine, which is a huge organization what aims to adjust the outside as well as she has the inside, has made her a real veteran at adjusting things. She was already the big nurse in the old place when I came in from the outside so long back, and she'd been dedicating herself to adjustment for God knows how long. And I've watched her get more and more skillful over the years. Practice has steadied and strengthened her until now she wields a sure power that extends in all directions on hair-like wires, too small for anybody's eye but mine. I see her sit in the center of this web of wires like a watchful robot, tend her network with mechanical insect skill, know every second which wire runs where and just what current to send up to get the results she wants. I was an electrician's assistant in training camp before the Army shipped me to Germany, and I had some electronics in my year in college is how I learned about the way these things can be rigged. What she dreams of there in the center of those wires is a world of precision efficiency and tidiness, like a pocket watch with a glass back. A place where the schedule is unbreakable and all the patients who aren't outside, obedient under her beam, are wheelchair chronics with catheter tubes run direct from every pant leg to the sewer under the floor. Year by year, she accumulates her ideal staff. Doctors, all ages and types, come and rise up in front of her with ideas of their own about the way a ward should be run, some with backbone enough to stand behind their ideas. And she fixes these doctors with dry ice eyes day in, day out, until they retreat with unnatural chills. "I tell you, I don't know what it is," they tell the guy in charge of personnel. "Since I started on that ward with that woman, I feel like my veins are running ammonia. I shiver all the time. My kids won't sit in my lap. My wife won't sleep with me. I insist on a transfer. Neurology bin, the alky tank, pediatrics, I just don't care." She keeps this up for years. The doctors last 3 weeks, 3 months, until she finally settles for a little man with a big wide forehead and wide jowly cheeks and squeezed narrow across his tiny eyes like he once wore glasses that were way too small, wore them for so long they crimped his face in the middle, so now he has glasses on a string to his collar button. They teeter on the purple bridge of his little nose, and they're always slipping to one side or the other so he'll tip his head when he talks just to keep his glasses level. That's her doctor. Her 3-daytime black boys she acquires after more years of testing and rejecting thousands. They come at her in a long black row of sulky, big-nosed masks, hating her and her chalk doll whiteness from the first look they get. She appraises them and their hate for a month or so,